Amen. Amen. You know, we celebrate freedom, right? No, I'm going to get into it. I better just stop. I'm going to get into my message. I don't want to do that. I've been up since 2:30 with a two-hour nap in between. God woke me up, and I'm laying there, and I'm like, the scripture won't go away. It's just there. It's not leaving. I knew what I was going to preach on today, but just didn't realize God was going to get me up at 2:30 to talk to me. So, but anyhow, it is good to be in this country. You know, we were talking with Addie last week, and she was in Australia. You know, we don't think of Australia as being oppressive, do we? But yet, they've taken all their guns. They don't have the right. They're like Canadians. They don't have the same rights we have. They can be arrested for stupid stuff. We have privileges in this country called liberties. I'm going to explain the difference today between freedom and liberty. But we can say, God bless you. You don't want to be blessed by my God? Don't receive it. We can say, I love you. We can say a pledge and pledge our allegiance to that flag as long as it remains under God. That's what that means. If that flag ever turns against God, this country will cease to exist. That's just all there is to it. And I don't think God's going to allow that right at the moment, because we are the source that is stopping a lot of evil from running rampant in this world. But we have such privileges as Americans. And she was just like, it was amazing. Is that the first time she's been to a foreign country? Okay, yeah, yeah. And it's not a third world country that we would, again, think of as highly oppressive, but she felt the oppression when she got there. Just like I got to Okinawa. You could feel the oppression. The Philippines, you could feel it. And I was even on an American base. But the reality is, we have the greatest country. And that's not tearing down Israel by any means, so don't go getting your panties in a wad over that. I'm not an Israeli. I'm an American. I'm a Christian. I bless Israel. But I also bless my own country. I pray for my leaders. And so, you know, as we celebrate this weekend, let's remember that in a matter of a few short years, we got those liberties. But if we're not diligent in exercising the first, most important voting right, I messed that up, is to vote. Make sure you're registered. Get out there and vote. Do the voting. Do your part. If God's calling you to be a leader in your community, you be the doggone leader in your community. I don't care what you want or don't want. It's what God wants. I didn't want to be here. I just wanted to hide. It's easy. You just let somebody else take the fall. I'm like, no, Lord, I'll back them. I got their back. Praise Jesus. A little different story when you're the tip of the spear and you're heading towards body armor. That shield's going to deflect you. It's going to hurt. But praise God, as long as the rest of the shaft is strong, you're piercing that armor. So understand that. We have rights and privileges. We are not really hated by all the world, contrary to what the news would like to tell you, contrary to what liberals would like to tell you. There are people that are sick and tired of attitudes that we have. We go in their countries. We let our spoiled brats go to their country. Let me rephrase that. And act like they have the rights to do whatever they want. They do not. As a matter of fact, I dare say the United States is the only one that will extend American rights to visitors. They don't have the same rights. They aren't Americans. That's the way I look at it. You don't have the right in this country for certain things, but yet we extend them. You go overseas, there is no right to a speedy trial. I knew guys that were waiting years for prison because they did something stupid out in town. So, I got an itch, sorry. It's taking my focus. So let's remember that. Also today is war on the floor. We're going to be praying. We're going to pray for this country. We're going to pray for our leaders. We are in a time in which we need to be praying. This next year is going to be critical. We need God leading us. I believe there are some candidates on the ballots that are serious contenders. I'm like, where have all these guys been? But they've been building up. So we need to pray God's will, not our personal opinion. How about we start doing that? If we pray God's will, we'll see how much easier life goes for us. Yep. Speaking of which, if you need a war on the floor paper, please raise your hand and Pat will get you one here. And if you've got it out there, you can give it to him after the offering. So let's bless the tithe and offering. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you to be living in this great country. Father, we thank you for the liberties that we have in this country. We have the freedom of religion, which means that nobody can tell us how to worship you. If we choose to worship you in our Bermudas, you're still there. If we're wearing our cowboy boots and blue jeans, you're still there. And Father, one of the ways we choose to worship you is with our tithe and offering. We present it to you, Lord God, as holy. Father, knowing that there's a promise in your word that you'll rebuke the devourer. It does not matter what the inflation rate is. Our trust is in you. And we will follow you. We will follow your leading. Father, I thank you right now that you are leading us and guiding us. Father, may we be obedient in that. Now bless this gift and the giver in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated and super kids are dismissed. But yeah, if y'all got to sleep through that nice storm early this morning, like 2:30, you missed some great fireworks. I even had my back turned to the window and it was blinding. So it was glorious. You know what's sad to me is so many people wait until the July 4th to become patriotic. We need to be patriotic every day. That doesn't mean, you know, this is a great time. I just failed to get a patriotic shirt. But it's not just wearing that once a year. It's wearing it in your heart every day. This is the greatest country. And again, if you don't believe so, I challenge you to travel abroad. Do it. You'll see. This is a pretty good country. So this morning, as the Lord began stirring in me for this message, I knew about where I was going. And I had heard something the other day, and it was like, okay, that's a good different delineation. In our country, we think liberty and freedom are the exact same thing, that they're synonymous, that they can be used. They're not. Freedom and liberty are actually two different things. That's why Lady Liberty is called Lady Liberty, not the Statue of Freedom. She's a Statue of Liberty. It's why the Liberty Bell is called the Liberty Bell, not the Freedom Bell. It's why Liberty Ring, Let Freedom Ring, because they're actually two things. The Bible actually says liberty and freedom. Two different words. And, you know, and I kept remembering, you know, when you start doing something like this, and if you're like me, I like media. Okay, I don't use as much of it up here. I'm not one of those guys that has a whole video that I set up and all this stuff, which I'm not that into it. But, you know, Braveheart. Totally Hollywood movie, if you've ever read the real account. But in the movie, we hear see him being tortured to death, and he yells, "Freedom!" Ladies and gentlemen, you were born free. You're born free. You have freedom. You may not always have liberty. Let me explain that to you a little bit better. So liberty in the Oxford Dictionary is the state of being free within a society from oppressive restrictions imposed by authority on one's way of life, behavior, or political views. See, right now in this country, if we were still under a monarchy, somebody could still be telling us how to hold our church service. Well, you need to do this. You know, you as the pastor cannot wear Hawaiian shirts. You can't let Caleb wear his hot dog suit. I love it, dude. I told Jason, I said, I forgot he had the matching shorts. But you see, religion will tell you you can't do that. And religion is a control. Control freaks love religion. They hate freedom. They hate liberty. So freedom, from the same dictionary, Oxford Dictionary, the power or right to act, speak, or think as one wants without hindrance or restraint. So freedom is you're on a leash without a muzzle. But freedom can go with the muzzle. Liberty, you have no leash. There's nothing holding you back. And I was telling Angela this morning, as we were having our coffee, I just could not. I was like, man, I had struggles for years with these words. And I said, and then God showed me that the best way for me to understand liberty, which again, I'm sorry if I bore you with my military stories. Okay, I'm not making war stories up for you. There was some great stuff that happened. There was some really crappy stuff that happened. But I learned. I grew as a man. But one of them was this liberty thing. You know, even in high school, again, I didn't understand it. Most of us don't understand liberty in high school. But when you get out of high school, and I was, you know, I waited a year because I was supposed to have had a job, and then finally I gave up and I said, I'm doing something with my life. I joined the military, joined the Marines. First thing they did is they took away my liberty. I was still free, but they took away my liberty. My liberty was the freedom to really say what I wanted. Now, I could have at any time, right? I could have told the drill instructors what I really thought of them. But I didn't. Because that would have been really stupid. So we had no freedom, no liberty whatsoever in boot camp. At night, you know, you got maybe 5 minutes to write a letter. And most of the time it was under the blanket with your moonbeam, our flashlights. Marines can't call anything by a normal name. So we had our little moonbeams there, and we would write these letters, and we'd get them all ready. I mean, it was amazing. I mean, you could look across at the other barracks and see all the lights on. It's supposed to be lights out. Mind you, it's 8 o'clock at night. And that's because we didn't really have true liberty to do what we wanted to do. If we had downtime, we were to be polishing our boots. We were to be cleaning any stray strings off of our uniforms. We were to be polishing our brass. We were to be studying our knowledge so that we could pass our tests. That's what we were supposed to be doing. And so, you know, we didn't really fully understand it. But then one day something happened. They gave us restricted on-base liberty, which meant we could go to the McDonald's and we could go to the PX and buy junk. And I think every last one of us went and bought a six-pack of pop and slammed it as fast as we could. But then we were released on leave. They were trying to make us humans again, and then they came back 10 days later and they restricted us again on base liberty. But then we went to another school and we got this thing called, we call it Cinderella liberty. After 1700, we were secured, 5 o'clock for people that don't understand. After 5 o'clock, we were secured for liberty until midnight. We had better be back on base. I'm not going to lie. I knew a few trails through the back. Minding you, there's copperheads, gators, everything else in those. But we still did it because we stayed out past midnight and you had to come through a gate where there was an MP waiting to turn you in. All you had to be was on base. But then we graduated from there and we got to our duty stations. And at our duty stations, we had real liberty. After we were secured for the day, we could go to the movie. We could wear what we wanted to wear within a reason. We could go where we wanted to go, again, within a reason. There were restricted places for certain reasons. We could eat what we wanted to eat, go to the movie we wanted to go, listen to the music. We didn't have to go anywhere. We could stay in the barracks. We were free to do what we wanted to do. We were free to say what we wanted to say. And most of us, when we got back, we talked about our platoon sergeant, or we talked about our commanding officer, or the sergeant, or the first sergeant, or company gunny, because we were stupid and young. And we did that. But in the end, we had freedom to say what we wanted. We never said it to their face. That would have been stupid. So God has been trying to get us to understand, ever since Jesus Christ resurrected, we have liberty. We've always been free. Now, there's always been a chain. See, that chain took us right back to sin. But we have liberty. I need you to understand something. There is a tougher stance in liberty than there is in religion. People don't realize that. Jesus didn't just say, oh, I'm just going to give you a license to do whatever you want. You could say what you want to anybody. You will be held accountable for every word. Keep that in mind when you want to run your mouth. You don't need to say something about everything. I had a roommate, he'd come in and he would talk about the CO and the first sergeant and what, all blah. I mean, he was a racist. You need to understand that. He was a racist. And we had a black CO. So you can imagine the words that were being slung around in our room. But yet, come the next day, here we were. You ever heard the term kiss butt? Marine Corps had another few colorful ones, but that was the main one. You would have never guessed that he just called him everything but a human being the night before. He never told him really what he thought of him, that he was a bigot. And that's when I actually got to start to do some self-examination of myself, because I was, and I realized I was. I realized I agreed with this clown. Why would I agree with anybody? CO had a job. He had to do things. We all had a job. We all had to do it, regardless of the color of our skin. So in 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Again, remember, You are free, but now there's liberty. You are totally empowered. You are in the state of freedom. You know, little Xander there, he's free. But not really, right? Because, well, one, Grandpa's holding him pretty good, keeping him from sliding off his lap. But he's not really free to do what he wants to do. See, since Jesus Christ resurrected, we have liberty. We are at liberty to do what we want, to think as we want to think. That is why it's important for us to study the Bible. Because there's so many people trying to tell us exactly how to think. Why? Because they know you won't study it. They know you won't pick your Bible up and look at it and say, ah, wait a minute. They will manipulate it so they can continue to control you. They'll go back to the law. You need to understand something. The law is not for a New Testament believer. Period. You want to see how God really wanted to be with people? Most of the law, there's a lot of the law that deals with how we deal with each other. The Ten Commandments. Great one. Us and him, right? And then us. And then us and other people. But you can't even live by those. They're part of the law. Thou shalt not kill. Murder is a proper word. Because that's what the Hebrew word meant, was murder. Thou shalt not murder. I'm not going to murder somebody, not because I can't, because I don't want to. I don't want to kill them. See, that's why we need to be praying for people. If we're praying for them, we're not going to harm them. Well, you just don't understand. They're Muslims. They want to kill us. Only a minute group want to. And in all honesty, if the vast majority would deal with the minority, you wouldn't have the atrocities that are taking place over there. Same thing in the body of Christ. If we would stand up and say, enough is enough with your garbage. You're just twisting the word of God to continue to control people. You have liberty. And that's where God took me from. I was going to be one of those control freaks. Because that's what military people are. Just so you know. And over the years, God has told me I have to stop. I have to pull my hands off and let people make their own mistakes. I put you in position of in a leadership position in the church. You get to make your calls unless there's something that I really, really, really believe we need to do or don't do. And there's only a handful of things anymore that I will just hit the brakes completely. You know, like no more neon rooms. We had a neon nursery. It's not good for the little guys. They never could just relax. But see, I gave people the power to do what they thought was right. And so God has told me that that's how I have to start, that I have to continue being. Jesus never once told his disciples, well, you can't do that. He let them figure it out. He would give them a story, make them figure it out. But that's not what we want to do. We want to come to church and we want to be told what you can and cannot do, don't we? You can't do this. You can't do that. Why don't I have an affair on my wife? Because I love her. That's why. Why doesn't she just go out and have an affair on me? Because she loves me. That's why we do. It's called love. Things aren't always perfect between every couple. I don't care what you say. You can sit there and hold it in and hold it in, but one day you're going to explode. But what you need to do first and foremost is go to God. He already knows how you feel. Talk to him about it. And then find you somebody who is a true confidant. Not everybody that claims to be a confidant is a confidant. They're just waiting for you to spill your garbage so they can go and blab it all over town. Wrong thing. So where the Spirit of the Lord is, I like to think the Spirit of the Lord is here. I think we have liberty. We have shorts. I can wear shorts. Did you know that? I can wear shorts. I'm the pastor. I can wear shorts. I just choose not to. Not saying that it won't ever happen. And I haven't worn my sandals yet. But all I've got are some really, yeah, they're totally open toe. They're just shy of being thong sandals. I got to be careful with that word. Yeah, our pastor wore thongs in church. And exactly how did you know that? But our liberty is subject to love. It's why we do things and why we don't do things. Why you just sit there for a few more minutes and let somebody maneuver instead of sitting at the side of the road honking at them. You know, I will say I do have some compassion for truck drivers. But I've also been the mechanic on the side of 71 trying to change a truck driver's tire, and they saw how close they could get to me. They were so close they blew over my flare. Not getting over. And then on the radio, I heard how they were actually playing a game with a woman. It was only two lanes in, and they were playing a game with this woman trying to go around them. I said, at that day, I said, you just lost me, guys. But if I see Richard, I'll give him the, I know he's a good driver. He's not going to play games. But then there's a few guys I know that drive truck and think, I ain't letting you out in front of me. I know what you're going to do. And I will tell you one thing I don't ever do. You're just a jerk. I never let anybody out of the western entrance at Kroger. You're just a jerk. No, 50 feet to the east, there's a traffic control device. That's an entrance for the semis. That's not an outlet. Go to the light. That's the time you can go to the light. Well, I can't turn right on red. Boo stinking who? We all have to live by that decision. You want to get up there and turn left? And here's the crazy thing. If I've got to stop there, it means your light's green. You could have turned with the privilege of having it be your turn. If I'm a jerk, I'm a jerk. Go to the light. It's not that hard. But yet, I've stopped traffic to let people through. Semis, big trucks, deliveries. And I honestly, I feel for you guys turning in up there at that point. I used to live over there. I'm like, I do not want to go to that point. I'll drive to the square and come back if I have to. But see, liberty, get back on track. Liberty means we have the freedom. I can eat what I want. I can actually drink what I want. I can wear what I want. I can watch what movies I want. I told Angela the other night, Friday night, we were sitting on the porch and it had gotten dark. And I said, well, I know she doesn't like violent movies. And I said, I'm going in to watch a violent movie. You may want to go to the bedroom. I watched John Wick. I liked it. Even though Keanu Reeves is not a good actor, really. But his character was a good character in that one. Haven't watched any others yet. But, point being, she has her freedom to go in there, into the bedroom, in the sitting room, and watch that TV. And I can watch it. Well, you're just filling your heart full of violence. No, I'm not. I'm already a violent person. So I've been told. I'm really not. But you need to understand something. Anybody who loves their family, loves their country, had better be able to go to that point. Because that's what it took for our founding fathers. I think, what is it, out of the 55, how many, about all of them ended up bankrupt and broke and, yeah. They gave it all up. They put it on the line. It's where the Spirit of the Lord is. Some people we have in the Bible to look at for that. David. The Spirit of the Lord was on David. David was the one that said, "Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Renew in me a contrite heart. Rebuild me, but do not take your Spirit from me." That was David. David lived in a time of the law. David ate the showbread, fed it to his men. That was in the temple. It was a place he wasn't even supposed to be in. And God didn't kill him. But it was against the law. See, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty is devoid of the law. Samson, he's a great example. Again, he was anointed to be a judge over Israel, a protector over Israel, single-handedly, thousands of people. And yet, Samson frequently visited brothels, drank, did all kinds of debauchery, ate honey out of the carcass of a dead lion. He wasn't even supposed to touch the lion, let alone eat the honey. Honestly, I don't know if I could even do that. Out of a tree, yes, but out of a lion? Just a little difficult. And yet the Spirit of God was still on him, and God did not strike him dead for violating the law. God protected him through all of that. However, when it came to the point where Delilah was trying to coax him to get it from him, and he kept lying to her and kept lying to her, and then finally he said, "I have never had my hair cut. Should my hair be shorn, I will become as weak as anybody." You need to understand, it wasn't the hair that made him strong. It was the covenant of God. And I will agree with John Jacobs, who said, I heard him say one time, he said, "This is the saddest scripture in the entire Bible. And the Spirit of the Lord departed from him, and he knew not." He didn't know that God's Spirit left him. He was now no longer in liberty. He was now subject to the law. We all know that that's the final straw. That's the one that did it for him. He was now, like any other man, he was taken to a prison camp. He was made to grind meal. And then when they were all having a feast, they brought him out, and not realizing his hair had grown back, not realizing that the sign of his covenant had come back, and God still honored it. And the power of God, the Spirit of the Lord, came back upon him. And he found his strength once again for one final act. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. 30 years, he lived the law. Every day. And then he got baptized. The Holy Spirit came upon him gently. A voice said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." But Jesus didn't violate the law. He didn't have to. He had the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, which is freedom from law. Freedom from the oppression of that law. He did pluck the wheat on the Sabbath. He did heal on the Sabbath. He did hang out with sinners. He did everything they accused him of. But yet he was not guilty of breaking the law, because now the Spirit of the Lord was upon him and he was free from having to live the law. But he already knew God's heart by living the law. And that's why he was able to say, "Love one another as I have loved you." He gave up his life. So, if the Spirit of the Lord, if you have the Holy Spirit, and that's why it is important to receive the Holy Spirit, salvation's one thing, receiving the Holy Spirit's another. The Holy Spirit frees you from that law. If you ever wonder, why do I feel like I don't have any joy in my salvation? Well, did you really get the Holy Spirit? I got prayed for one time. Okay, well, you got prayed for. All you got to do is submit. I can't make you submit. I submit myself to the Holy Spirit. I fought it for years. As a matter of fact, 10, almost 11 years before I finally gave in and quit fighting the Holy Spirit. And when I quit fighting, I started finding freedom and more and more and more. And now that in the last 22 years, I have found such freedom in God. But when we started this church, I started feeling the law coming back on me. You need to look the part. And it took a heathen to say, why do you need to look such a way? Some of the people that have ministered to me the most in my life were not wearing three-piece suits. They wore mohawks, earrings that looked like fishing lures, because it was the 80s. Leather. They screamed into microphones. And some of them, after they were done screaming, laid down the microphone and spoke to thousands. And you could hear them without the microphone because the presence of God was there. It was true freedom. But when I became the pastor here, after we started church, I started feeling, well, I got to wear suits. I got to do this. I got to look the part. I got to do this, 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 or I'm not a pastor. And God showed me that he didn't call me to fit somebody else's description. He called me to be me. She's not in here. Sarah, the back of Sarah's shawl, I guess is what it's called. Freedom to be you and me. I wouldn't change any of you. Caleb, I wouldn't change you, man. I think it's great. I ain't saying I would do it. But if you see some of my outfits from the 80s, you'll understand. I have a past to hide. Unfortunately, there are pictures. I thought they looked good. Looking back, the eyes of maturity looking back on some of them outfits. Yeah, they did back then. Or maybe we were just deceived. I don't know. But no, God gave us all to be you and me. Richard is Richard. I wouldn't change Richard. I wouldn't change. I got to tell you what these two did yesterday. They were listening last week. I said, you'd never shake the hand of an elder man sitting down. I get over there. Phil's already in there at the table. Richard, Pat, and we walk in. I sit down. Phil reaches over, shakes my hand. I was messaging a neighbor. And Phil jumps up and shakes Richard's hand. And he knew it because Richard was going to do it to him. And I just thought, thank you, Jesus. It was good. But I wouldn't change that between you guys. That's camaraderie, because while I know you poke at each other, you die for each other. See, and that's the problem we do in the body of Christ. We try to make it legal. You don't jest. I've been in churches where there's absolutely no joy. And I just wonder, why? You can't laugh. You can't smile. No, it's a somber occasion. Listen, I'm just going to tell you all right now, at my funeral, it's going to be a party. That's just it. It's rock and roll. Rock and roll, baby. And I will tell on Johnny. So Johnny was realizing this the other day, and he's like, I got to think, what would I play? And was it you? Trinity's like, let me guess, let the bodies hit the floor. I thought, that's a good one. That's a good one. Anyhow, it's a somber occasion, but I'm not there. I'm in heaven. I'm having a party of my own. Jesus might have Charlie Clark from Messiah Prophet, my favorite band. He passed away. He's rocking the flock. He's up there. scream and rock the flock. And the drummer from Tourniquet, he's up there playing. Like, come on, guys, we got a party going on. They're living in their freedom. And some of these guys learned to live in their freedom. There's so many things that we just, oh, well, that's not godly. What is godly? Please tell me. Because all he ever said was, love one another. Love your neighbor. And I got to get moving. Galatians 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Again, he's talking about sin primarily, but he's also talking about religion, because you don't realize everybody has religion. Well, I'm an atheist. You have a religion, sir. All religion is a belief system. Period. I believe you can't believe. Okay? You have a religion. And Paul is telling us to stand fast. The better word for stand fast for us is hold fast. You ever see those sailors that have a hold fast tattooed on their hands? There's one on Pirates of the Caribbean. I'm free to watch that, by the way. I take no religious teaching from it. It's a fantasy. Because I always wanted to be a pirate too. It's either that or an astronaut, and I'm not smart enough to be an astronaut, so hey, kick butt and take names. But the one he has, hold fast on his tattoo, it's not just a thing to put on there for motivation. Those were the guys who were riggers. Every one of those tattoos had a meaning. Did I just change something? It said, hold fast, because they were the ones who climbed up into the mast during the storms to pull up the sails. And anybody ever really pay attention to those things? They aren't up there with OSHA-approved lanyards, you know, that they can swing. They're up there barefooted. It's splinters. It's ropes that give you splinters. Their hands, it's wet. You're being tossed to and fro. You thought the disciples were scared in a little storm on an inland lake. Dude, imagine being over the Marianas Trench or the Cape Horn or Cape Fear. Cape Fear particularly, as I understand, is a really bad storm area. Watch Master and Commander. And they're up there holding fast. Why? Because they ain't finding you. If you fall off, you're gone. You're only going to stay above water as long as you can hold your breath. That's it. They can't find you because they can't see you. And that's what that means. Hold fast. Do not let go. Do not let go of the liberty that Christ has given you. To go back to a system of dead, dry religion that says you can't trim your beards, gentlemen. You have to look like Amish. Except you aren't allowed, you have to grow a mustache. They think it's military. I'm like, you guys need to rethink your belief there, because military doesn't want you to have a mustache either. That's why they make them so... Where's Pat? Pat's got the perfect example of a military mustache. It's just a thin line. Most guys are like, I'm done. Because we get out the rulers and we measure them. We measure individual hairs. It's ridiculous. But the law creates restriction. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't have an electric guitar. Don't you know that's in the devil's toolbox? The last person that said that ended up getting busted for two affairs. Two. Not just one. We remember the one. Most people forgot he got caught twice. He didn't repent. But I'm not here to point out his sin. I'm here to say we have to be very careful. Look at them as an example. Because I think I told you that the very album that that man held up in that church, which was a Striper album, the Yellow and Black Attack. Great album, really. I loved it. Isaiah 53:5, right across the front of it. How can you misconstrue what they're talking about? But the problem is, he never realize he led them to the Lord. They were heathens, and they watched him preaching. And to this day, they are still singing about God's goodness. They got over it. But they never let that religion back in. So we have got to be careful. We're not entangled again back into religion. Well, you know, there does need to be order, but there needs to be order just period. Not, well, you need a 15-minute, you are restricted to a time. The first person that ever taps their watch to me, let me give you a heads up. I don't care who you are. You will find that right there. I shut up when God says shut up. And we're almost there. I feel it. I feel him tugging on my shirt. But you see, that's religion. Preacher, you've had enough of my day. This whole day belongs to the Lord. So you can sit there and shut up. Oh, I just can't believe. Stick your toes out here. I got cowboy boots on today. I'll do a two-step like you ain't ever seen. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love one and serve one another. Just because, I'll use this as an example. We usually, you've heard me talk about how religion is actually more restrictive on women than it is on men. You think I'm kidding? Go look at men nights. The men wear whatever shoes they want. Some certain clans, the guy doesn't grow a beard. Guy wears pretty much whatever shoes and clothes he wants to wear. And women have to wear their hair in a bun, have a little thing on them, wear skirts. They can wear tennis shoes.
Yay.
They're allowed to wear shoes. In the Amish in the summer, the women and the children don't wear shoes, even walking on the roads. I can imagine how rough their feet really are. But you see, it's more restrictive on women. And so over the years, the Lord has really begun opening my eyes. Because, you know, if you haven't paid attention, I have a tendency to twitch. And it's because of slight nerve damage due to a skin disease that I got, or a fungus, back in 92. I never got it treated, and so it itched. So I started doing that to scratch it. I don't do that when I'm not wearing a shirt. And I grew up not wearing a shirt. So if I'm here some days, you might catch me without a shirt. But the Lord has told me that if a woman comes in here, I got to put my shirt back on. Because that's no different as if she came in wearing just her bra. Or worse. Because there are some women that struggle with that. You know, we don't think about it, do we? You got shirtless guys on TV all the time. We don't think anything about it, but yet we're feeding our women with lust. Look at those! And yet you gripe at your husband for the exact same thing. See, we use control. I've never once told my wife she needs to lose weight, and she's never told me, and I never will. But we both know how we feel. It's like, okay. And by the way, I told you I'd gained a few pounds. I lost it all back by Tuesday. Why? Because of what I learned. Watch what I'm eating, cut back on some things, and I triggered my fat burning again. Drink lots of water. Huge key. Which, by the way, I passed a kidney stone before I got up here. It's like, thank you, Jesus, that came out now. But I'm going to tell you right now, that's God's mercy in my life. Do you know how many men are hospitalized till them things pass? And it was just about the size of a BB. So, I'm going to keep walking in God's mercy. But, you get where I'm at. So, the Holy Spirit is greater than the law. So, if you have the Holy Spirit, there is absolutely no need to even live by the Ten Commandments. No, none. If you live by the Ten Commandments, you've got to live by all of the law, all 674 laws that they have. You can't wear holy clothes. If you got a, you got your pants with the frays or knees gone, you can't wear them. I'm going to tell you right now, I went out the other day. I had hurt shirt holes all over my shirt. I went to Marion like that, baby. I'm like, I don't care what people think. I was washing the house and the cleaner wasn't working, so I ended up in Marion. And I was like, I'm going just as I am. I'm not there to impress anybody, and I'm not changing clothes. It takes long to change clothes, go back, come back, change clothes, get everything going again. Save me a lot of time and a headache. And I don't really care what people think about me anymore. But you're a pastor, absolutely. I should never care what people think, because as soon as I start caring what you think, I won't tell you the truth. We're not to use our liberty to sin. That's what I was sharing about the shirt. It's my liberty. And I'll tell you right now, if you come to my house and you're offended by somebody without a shirt, don't stop. You can ask, well, ask Tony. I think it was one of the first times she's like, oh, here we are. She walked by without a shirt. I said, you better get used to it. Yeah, she's not scarred. She survived. But she knows she understands partly why, but part of it is because I just was raised without a shirt. Usually with shorts, barefoot, and dirty. Because we played hard. So when we start allowing law to creep back in and say, well, you know, you need to look this way. You know, you can't have long hair. Really? Actually, if I could grow my hair long again, I might have at one time. I tried. It just didn't look like it did in the 80s. I don't know what happened. I do. Those cowlicks fell out. And the mullet came back, so maybe, I don't know. Samson's sign of the covenant was his hair. Long hair. Well, brother, don't you know the Apostle Paul says we should not have long hair? Paul was a Roman citizen. Most of the Roman citizens had lice. You know why they wore wigs in the Founding Fathers' days in this country? They had lice. So they shaved their heads, and how they got all those wigs, horse hair, I'm guessing, I don't know. Like, you cut a woman's hair off who has lice, and you make a wig out of it. Aren't you just carrying her lice? But they did it for years. Men and women, it didn't matter who you were. You were, if you had some money to buy a wig, you bought a wig. Paul was a Roman citizen. We can all almost actually assume that Jesus had longer hair. He hung out with fishermen. He hung out with rebels. Getting a haircut every week wasn't exactly a priority. I just do it now because I got a haircut every week for 4 years. And it's just really hard to let it touch my ears. So when it started touching my collar, it gave me the heebie-jeebies. But I don't fault anybody if they can grow their hair long. You want to shave it? Go for it. I don't care. Our hair has nothing to do with it. A woman has short hair. Oh, don't you know it's just a sin? What are they trying to be lesbians? Here, let me show you a picture of my grandmother. And dare to utter that again, you will eat your teeth. Because my grandmother, had hair about the length of Dave's. It was very short. And she combed it over, kind of like I'm wearing it right now. That's my grandmother. All 4'11" of her. And by the way, she would eat your lunch. She was not a woman you messed with. Because she would give you X-lax and tell you that it was cocoa. Because she did that. And he never messed with her again. All right. So we're called to liberty, but not to let liberty become an excuse for our sins. Amen. All right, Pat, if you'll bring those prayer requests up. So, folks, we do have a lot to be praying for in this country. Amen. Amen. You know, honestly, this is the first time I've heard anybody want to pray for this. Stop the fire, Lord. We're tired of breathing the smoke. We haven't thought about praying about it, have we? Lord, you can send these rains we're getting right back to the Canadian Rockies. So, you know, we got various people and various needs. Always remember, you know what I've come to, I'll just give you a heads up. If you wake up, anybody else besides me just wake up randomly in the middle of the night besides having to go to the bathroom? About all of us. Start praying for somebody. Because there's times I'm like, I don't have to go to the bathroom. Why am I awake, Lord? It is 3 o'clock in the morning. I should be asleep. And I'll start praying for, I'm like, who do I pray for? You don't know, pray in the Spirit. But sometimes God will actually put somebody's name in your heart. And you start praying for them. Because you never know what you're praying and helping them through right then. So we're going to go before the Lord. We're going to bless. By the way, happy anniversary, Pat and Brenda. I just looked at the date and I'm like, yes. Yes, today is their anniversary. So we're going to go before the Lord. We're going to know that God is going to move on these situations. We don't know how, we don't know when, but we know he will. Amen? All right, so let's pray. Oh, hallelujah. Father God in heaven, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And Father, we know as we come before you that what we bring to you in that name, you will answer. You will move on it. Now, Father, I pray that you help us, that if our request is in here, Lord God, that as we pray, Father, you help us to identify when you've answered it, what you're saying, leading. So, Lord God, I pray right now for this request of this unbeknownst collection, Father. I pray right now that you make the way. You clear this thing up, Father God. And if it is truly indeed owed, then, Father God, you bring the money to pay this out. To cancel this, Father, to restore this person's name in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that you're moving. You're bringing peace. Give this person the peace right now, Father, as they stand there. And that they deal with this. Lead them through this in Jesus' name. As a matter of fact, Lord God, bring the source from an unexpected place. And Father, I pray right now for this dear sister. I pray, Lord God, that you move. Help her clear her mind. Father, I pray right now for restoration in that. Father, for strength, for courage. Lord God, we join with her. Father, I bind the attacks the enemy is throwing at her right now in Jesus' name. Lord God, we, as her brothers and sisters, stand in front of her, around her, beside her. Lord God, wrap her in your love. Father God, move in this situation in her life right now. Father, she does not deserve it. Father, we pray for a breakthrough right now, Lord God, and a restoration in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And Father, we pray for this broken heart. Lord, I know how they're feeling, And Lord, I know that you are the mender of the broken hearts. So Father, I pray right now that as each day, not that the memory will pass, but that the good times will outweigh the pain of the missing them. Lord God, may we always remember that if, as a believer, if we're not here, we are there. So Father, help our dear sister right now, in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray for safe travels for Mr. and Mrs. Piker. Lord, I thank you. You're moving right now, Lord God, that as they go back to the base, Father, your mercy, traveling mercies will be with them. Father, that you will just clear the highways of any idiots, morons, and derelicts. So, Father, we thank you that as they are going, they will have a peaceful journey back into their new life, in Jesus' name. And, Lord God, we do. We pray. Father, we pray for the rain to put out these storms, or these firestorms, Lord, right now, in Jesus' name. We realize there's possibly there's nothing they can actually do to stop them now. But Lord, we know you can. We know you can send that rain. So Father, we pray right now because Lord, it is affecting brothers and sisters all over the North America right now. Possibly even South America and Central America. Father, I thank you right now. Right there's proof. Father, that you're going to put those out. Father, this smoke, Lord God, will break up. It will dissipate and clear out. Father, that people with breathing problems will now be able to breathe clearly once again. Father, I thank you for your healing even in that area. And Father, we pray for Andrea. Lord, you see that she's having a difficult time focusing on you. Lord, the friend that has requested this, Lord, they can't be the only one who sees this. But Father, so we pray, Father, that if she doesn't have anybody else, you begin to surround her with other believers that will reaffirm what her friend is saying. I thank you, Father, that you're moving on that right now in Jesus' name. Her focus is being redirected back to you and not worrying about the things that are going on in this world. Give her that peace in Jesus' name. Father, we all have loved ones. We all have friends. We have neighbors who do not know you. And Father, as believers here, we do believe these are the end days. Father, they're lining up with your word. And there's many people who do not know you, Lord. So Father, I pray right now that those who do not know you, Lord, that their lives can be rectified by meeting somebody who can tell them about you, lead them to you. Pray with them, Father. Direct their paths to us. Lord God, may that harvest, when you come back, be magnificent. Father, we pray for the United States of America. To be honest with you, Lord, we're not really all that united. Our country is being divided by liberalism, by an assault on truth, assault on facts. Lord God, and we're calling evil good and good evil. Now, Father, we know those are clear signs of the end times. But nonetheless, we are here, and we will continue to pray, Father, that this wayward country would turn its heart back to you. Father, we surrender our government to you, our leaders. Father, we know that you can move through them regardless of their political affiliation, regardless of their religious affiliation. Lord God, we pray right now. We thank you for a Supreme Court that is standing for truth. And Lord, we pray right now that you protect them in Jesus' name. And Father, as we begin to wind up the ever so aggravating season of political agendas and advertisements and bannering, Lord, we pray that truth will rise. Lord God, we pray for the person you have appointed for this next term. Lord God, we have options, But Father, we know your truth. We know the people you need to send. So Father, we pray right now that as things wind up, that will come clear and clear in Jesus' name. And now, Father, we pray for Pat Graham, Lord. I know he's still in the hospital. Lord, I thank you, Father, you're continuing to heal him. Father, you're clearing his body of any and all blood clots. Father, restoring his health right now in Jesus' name. Lord, he does not need to spend the rest of the time that they've said in the hospital. Just as Justin was out in 4 days, Lord, you can bring him out now. So we thank you, Lord God, that you're restoring his health in Jesus' name. And Father, we pray against this trafficking, the human trafficking, drug trafficking, Lord God. Not only this county, this area, this area of our state, this state, but yes, Lord, this country. Lord God, this should not be so. Lord, I thank you right now that people are turning their hearts. People are saying things, Lord God. Father, these mob groups, the Russian mob, the Italian mob, Lord, anybody and everybody, the Mexicans, everybody who's got a group that's traveling through this country, stealing people away from their families, Lord God, I pray against their workings right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you right now that everything that they do falls, Lord God. Their money disappears, Lord God. Their vehicles break down. People are caught and returned back to their families and their homes. Lord God, I thank you that you're moving in Jesus' name on this. And Father, I thank you that you're giving my brother Ted the wisdom on when he's to leave. Father God, if that opportunity does not open up for you, Cyrus, Lord, that you give him the clear sign that it's time to leave. And Father, we also thank you that this country has struck down Roe v. Wade. But Lord, there is a battle within the states now. So Father, we pray for every one of these states. Lord, we pray for godly leaders, godly judges to realize this is not a right. We have the right to life, liberty, and justice, not the right to choose to kill our babies. Father, I thank you for a revival across this country, across this world, Lord God. Father, may we quit passing these children before Molech. You destroyed the Canaanites for the very same thing. And now we are doing it as well. Father, we thank you right now that you're moving on these requests. Father, you're opening these opportunities. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. All right, let's stand. Whoops. As I try to trip going up the steps. Let's see, what are we at? 17 and a half years? And I do believe there was a running side bet on when I'd fall off the steps. I was given only a few months, though. So I think I've obliterated that. Not that it hasn't been a potential. All right, let's pray again. Lord God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the liberty that we are in. Liberty in this country, the liberty we have through Jesus Christ, Father. May we not fall back into that. Father, may we always remember to give that grace back to you. Give that grace to everybody else, Father. And if we realize that it's just our preference, just as wearing pants to preach in is my preference currently, then that's what it is. Doesn't make the word of God any less effective. So, Father, I pray right now that you begin to show us all how we've grabbed hold of religious ideas. Father, ways that we've even allowed the devil to steal liberties through our liberty. So, Father, I thank you that you're revealing us, you're helping us, and we're all growing. And now, Lord, I thank you for your people. Lord God, they are victorious. They are mighty. They are warriors. I bless them, Father. I thank you, Lord, that as they go in to the battle, They may get bounced around. They may get knocked around. But they will come out victorious. May they set their face as flint as they see the battles coming. In Jesus' name, amen.